You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Thursday morning, August 28th. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening through the app or podcast, maybe on the website, civicmedia.us, however you got here. Appreciate you being here for what some people, wink, wink, is the last working day of the week before a long and well-deserved Labor Day holiday weekend for every American worker out there. I got a question for you. Does that include Parker Olson? Is he a great American worker who deserves a long weekend for Labor Day? The answer is yes. We'll go ahead and answer that question now. Parker, you too are a great American worker who deserves Labor Day weekend off.
Aw.
Congratulations.
Aw, thank you. Never had anybody say that to me before. That's the kindest thing you've ever said to me, Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's I'm overtired. I'm not myself.
Oh, exactly. I understand. Yes.
I'll try to fix that along the way. Although I'm not sure. I'm looking at how the day is starting here.
Yeah.
Before I even opened up the microphone, first comment on Facebook.
Oh boy.
I'm just reading opinions here. I don't see any facts, and I'm really curious what exactly you're talking about. You're curious what he posted. I'm curious what exactly you're talking about.
That's the point of what you were reading.
Before this show had even started. So, you know, we're off on a great note here. So let's tell you what we're talking about. We're going to talk to Joe Zepecki about today's visit to La Crosse by Vice President J.D. Vance. It's another effort to spin the narrative on what's in the Republican package of massive cuts and record deficits used to deliver lots of goodies to people in the wealthiest tax brackets. And like his buddy, Congressman Derek Van Orden, you can expect a lot of forceful denials and sarcasm and name calling, but we'll help you keep an eye on those pesky facts that keep getting in the way of their brand of performative politics. You know, Van Orden frequently talks about growing up poor and having to eat government cheese, which only makes it easier to identify him as what I call a ladder pusher. Someone who was able to take advantage of policies that could help children and families climb up out of poverty, only to then push the ladder away before anyone else can benefit. We're going to talk to Kate Felton of Eau Claire about her new column at the Recombobulation Area that calls out Van Orden for continuing to lie that the new Republican budget law doesn't hurt people who rely on Medicaid and nutrition support to stay out of poverty. We will check the latest Kennedy quackery going on at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. A woman with Wisconsin ties is out of a job less than a month into her new role leading the CDC. And predictably, it is setting off alarm bells throughout the country's health and science communities. So we'll check on a Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert Kennedy Jr., a spreader of medical misinformation who seems hell-bent on steering the country on a crash course with more public health emergencies, because isn't that what this country needs on top of everything else? Brittany Merlot's forecast for the state today says that Labor Day weekend is looking warmer, plenty of sunshine and dry days ahead, and that's some great news. She says there are some showers possible early in the southern part of the state. Otherwise, a quiet, cooler day, plenty of sun, highs in the upper 60s up north, mid-70s to the south. A northeast wind today at 10 to 15 miles an hour. For tonight, clear and chilly, patchy fog. Lows will be in the upper 30s up north to 50 in the southern part of the state with an east wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And we will get her full forecast coming up right after the 7 o'clock news right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I have been saying for the past couple of days that, you know, not having 80s for temperatures. Do I sound like I've been complaining about it?
Yes.
I probably sounded like I was complaining.
Yes.
I noticed you didn't even hesitate.
Nope.
Didn't even hesitate to say that I was complaining.
I find it weird that you've been complaining about how nice it's been. It's great.
It hasn't been summer is like 80s and it hasn't been in the 80s. It's been in the upper 60s and 70s. Anyway, I got to eat all those words yesterday as we went for a pontoon ride. You know, we've got one of the daughters and her family here today. Another one arrives tonight. And yeah, see, Tony, you're right. Says no way Pat never complains. We don't, you know, they haven't invented a proper sarcasm font yet for online comments. And I'm guessing that it would be there on that one. Anyway, so we're going on a ride up the river yesterday, and Sherry had to work, and she sends me a text, you know, how are things? I said, they're great. We're heading up river, heading to Mallard. We're going to relax for a while. And she's like, is it too cold? And I had to send back. No, it's glorious. It was perfect. Yesterday could not have been a more perfect afternoon to be out and about. You know, it was jeans instead of shorts, but you know, t-shirts and everything else. And it was just the most wonderful day.
So what you're saying is we've brought you over to the white side.
You brought me over to the, it doesn't have to be 85 with a triple digit heat index. Right. Yeah, exactly. Alicia says on YouTube, no real fog here in Marinette, but on the way up, the bugs were so bad in areas. They looked like smoke rising from the trees.
Ah.
Well, there's some good news.
That's an image.
Yeah.
Ah.
But we are getting to that point, though, where some of the critters start to sense there will be a change in the season. Some are migrating. Some will be looking at your house and going, hey, I'll bet it's warmer in there. You know, yep. Whether it's the beetle, the little Japanese beetles, the little ladybugs. All the other critters.
Yeah, the box elders, you know, also start coming.
The box elders, yeah. Yep. They're all going to start to be on the move here pretty soon. And so we'll have the ant traps laid out yet again and, you know, try to spider one more round of spider spray.
Oh, God,
you know, because the critters, hey, you know, if you're out in there in nature, critters, you know, go nuts.
Yeah.
You can't come in here. If you come in here.
I have an amendment to that.
Okay.
If you're outside, critters, give me like a 1 foot radius away from anything I need to touch on my house. There is currently a spider that has made its home in the garage door, like code panel.
Okay.
And I have to flick it every day to get into the garage. And I'm not a fan of feeling a spider web on me.
Have you considered instead of flicking it, you know, smush? You know, I mean,
I haven't found it yet.
Oh, you're just flicking the web away.
I'm only seeing the web. I don't think I've seen the spider yet, but it keeps coming back. So there is a spider there. I'm not crazy, Pat.
And getting more and more angry at you that you keep blowing its house down.
Probably true. But, that's probably why the webs keep getting bigger. Yeah.
So maybe if the little pig could build a web out of bricks, you know, it might have a better chance. But maybe you're right. Maybe he needs to go find a new zip code to do that. I see you have your Badger red on. You must be ready for today's Badger football season opener.
Of course. Yes. I am such a big college football guy. However, I will make an amendment to that. I know little to nothing about the Badgers this year.
I think most people would tell you that.
this is
not a team of household names.
Exactly.
Shall we say, you know?
And I just haven't kept up hardly at all in the last couple of years because I've been so busy with covering whitewater sports in college.
Sure.
So it'll be, from what I understand, not a great year to pick it back up, but...
Well, we got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And I guess the way I'd put it is for Luke Fickell, the coach,
yeah.
You know, you get those first couple of years of a grace period because it wasn't your recruiting class and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know these aren't all his recruits necessarily, but you've had a couple of years to get your feet wet, you know, to respond to what you've got there.
Yeah.
And I think it is entirely fair to have not outsized, but high expectations from him. I mean, if he's fair. Everything that they said he was when they hired him,
yeah.
This is the year to put up.
Yeah.
And if not, I don't know. Maybe we go in a new direction.
I don't know. You know, I have always been huge on you have to give a coach 4 years so that they can get all their own guys and be involved in the system and everything about the new school that they're at.
Okay.
But in today's world, I don't know what to think, though, because there's so many transfers. It seems like there's zero guys.
It never is your own team anymore because, that transfer portal gets used more than the portal on the Enterprise on Star Trek. His kids are just beaming from place to place to place. It's, you know, Tony says, looking forward to a more balanced offense and getting back to running it.
Yeah.
So is that the thing? We're supposed to be more of a running team?
This year? I mean, we
really haven't had NFL quarterbacks, shall we say,
no.
for a few years. So maybe we should stop trying.
For a anyway, few years. Okay. Russell Wilson was the last NFL quarterback we had in like 2010.
Yeah, exactly. A few years. So the Badgers are taking on Miami of Ohio, which always, you know, to have a footnote like that. It's Miami University
of Ohio.
You'd think by now they'd get the hint. you know? I guess their school motto is, hey, at least it's not Miami of North Dakota. You know, so we got that going for us. 8 o'clock is the start time. Late start to the game here.
Yeah.
Big Ten Network or right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh.
Stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon will have the pregame starting at 6 o'clock this evening. And then kick off at 8 o'clock, Badger football, new season getting underway. In baseball, the Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Brewers last night 3-2. It was the first appearance for the newest Brewers pitcher, Eric Fetty, 32 years old, now with his third team in 2025. His record is currently 4 wins and 13 losses. So I guess...
low expectations.
Well, there's that and this whole notion of look at all the players who have overperformed, who've come here. And so I guess that makes Eric Fetty, a reclamation project. Like, well, let's see if we can turn straw into gold once again.
And what happened?
Andrew Vaughn. He pitched 4 1/3 innings. He gave up 2 runs on 8 hits. So, you know, not terrible by any stretch. Just like you said, the bar is low.
Yeah.
You know, for what we've got, because again, and we haven't talked about this for a long time, but I mean, there are still injuries in that core. There's players, you know, I mean, look at all we've done without Jackson Churio all this time and everybody, you know, everybody else, pitchers and hitters alike. William Contreras though hit a home run. And so he's had a hot bat lately, and they're going to do it one more time with a day game today, wrapping up the 4-game series. And the pregame is going to start at 12:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. So a little daytime baseball before the Brewers hit the road. And they're off to Toronto for a quick series here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then they're back here on Monday, on Labor Day, for a game against the Philadelphia Phillies. And then they're off on Tuesday before continuing the series on Wednesday and Thursday. That Tuesday off day will be their first off day after, is it 18 games in 17 days or 19 games in 18 days. And it is starting to show, you know, you're hearing that from folks, and yes, it is. So give the boys a break, but first they got to go to Toronto, which is how they say, you don't pronounce it another T, Toronto. It's like Fonjillac. You know, from the heart of America's up north here on a foggy Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And now we're with Sherita Booker, our social media manager, who, since she's online more than anybody, also looks at other things that are going on around the news world and around the state. and then joins us to talk about some of the events that you could be attending. Yes, I know it's Labor Day weekend. Yes, you've probably made your plans already, but maybe not. Maybe you can squeeze one of these in. So let's ask Sharita about that right now. Sharita, hello. How are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good. Let's start with, let's go from things that are starting today and then into the weekend. And so starting today, there are big Labor Day weekend festivities at the Harley-Davidson Museum in Milwaukee. Tell us more about that.
Yep, that kicks off and will run through Sunday. And tonight is Ladies Bike Night from 5 to 9 with musical performances by Dandy Freeling and Big Heart Kind Band. All weekend long will be Harley-Davidson's outlet sale where you can save major deals on gear and merch. You can also join the MKE Labor Day Challenge where you ride to 5 Harley-Davidson locations, including the museum, to unlock 500 member and loyalty points where you can earn your challenge badge. And the weekend finishes up with the 8th annual Big Unit Poker Run, which benefits Fisher House, Wisconsin. Registration for that starts at 8 a.m. with breakfast ready to go. And you can pre-register online to win a signed guitar from the Sturgis Rally performers. For more information on that event, visit harley-davidson.com.
That would be cool. All right. So that's coming up in Milwaukee here. Have you been? Are you a motorcycle rider or Harley rider?
I am not, and I have never been.
Have never been? Okay. Well, down to the museum. I would like to see the museum. If I were around, this would be a good weekend to go down there and maybe get some bargains, like you said, at the factory outlet sale and things like that. So that's on Canal Street down in Milwaukee, not far away from American Family Field, if you're not familiar with the valley there. Let's head down the road to Madison. Big event this weekend, Taste of Madison. Tell us more.
Yep, and that's the largest picnic on the Capitol Square, and that'll be happening this Saturday and Sunday. There will be more than 80 food vendors participating this year. Some of those include Auntie Jill's, Banzo, Common Pasta, Curd Girl, David's Jamaican Cuisine, Draper Brothers Chop House, El Gran Taco Gato, and Marie's Soul Food, and much, much more. There's plenty on the list. In addition to several food and beverage options, there will be live entertainment. Saturday's lineup includes Pop Evil, The Haunt, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, Nerp, Never Tell, A New Revolution, Foo Foo Dolls, Super Tuesday, and No Limit. Sunday's lineup includes George Burge, Madison County, Preston Cooper, Elizabeth Mary Band, The People's Brother Band, Frank Martin Bush, and The Names, The Rotation, and Take Back the Sun. And admission for this event is free. And for more information, visit tasteofmadison.com.
All right. Have you been to Taste of Madison or anything similar to that?
I have not been to Taste of Madison. I want to go, though. Like, I've only been to Madison like 3 times in my entire life.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Well, You could pick worse weekends to go there. You know?
Right.
I was mentioning before some of the events coming up next weekend for people if they wanted to start planning, and that includes Barbecue Fest up here in Chippewa Falls, which I've not been to that. I think this is the 3rd annual in Chippewa. I have been to, in 2 other different cities, a Rib Fest. If you ever get a chance to go to a Rib Fest, people, go to the Rib Fest. It's just unbelievable. And I'm sure Taste of Madison is going to have a whole lot of great choices as well. And if I'm not mistaken, Taste of Madison was the scene. There was a scene up on the rooftop for that season of Top Chef that was in Wisconsin as well. I'll have to ask Luke Mathers all about that since he knows everything about Top Chef. All right, let's move on. We've covered Milwaukee, Madison. Let's get up here to Western Wisconsin. And look, you're going to find a lot of mazes out in fields this year. You're going to go, yeah, it's a corn maze. That's a corn maze. This is not a corn maze. What do we got going in this case around Eau Claire?
We have the sunflower maze. And that will be sunflowers. And that'll be held at Jaquish Farms. And it's their annual sunflower maze and family fun event. And that's happening Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. In addition to the sunflower maze, there will be a picking patch, barrel rides, wagon rides, a scavenger hunt, a sand pit, and photo ops. There will also be food trucks and concessions available. The price is $10 per person or $25 per carload, and children 5 and under are free. And for more information about this event, you can visit their Facebook page, and that's Jaquish Farms, and the spelling is J-A-Q-U-I-S-H Farms.
And the location, by the way, is just southwest of Eau Claire. Get on to 37, but then don't get on the interstate. Just keep going. It turns into Highway 85. And just a little ways down, kind of there along the Chippewa River, is where you'll find a sunflower maze. That's got to be a first for definitely would be for me. I've done the corn mazes. Doing the corn mazes, though, I've done them with small children. And that's an adventure because small children have no respect whatsoever for mazes, especially in corn. They're just going to barrel right through, go over where they want to go. And then you look like the parent who's cheating, you know, chasing the kid through there. So just keep in mind the spirit of what these young kids are doing when they go out to these corn mazes. Sharia Booker, thanks for telling us about the corn mazes and everything else coming up. Have a wonderful holiday weekend.
You too, Pat.
In some other news right now, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy would like you to know what a great job President Donald Trump is doing with Amtrak. He put out an announcement yesterday, a tweet that said, announcing Next Gen Acela. Acela would be those high-speed trains out on the East Coast. These are brand new, beautiful trains, Duffy says, delivered by the U.S. Department of Transportation and Amtrak. They will increase reliability, lower ticket costs, and improve Amtrak profitability. This is all part of the president's vision to make travel great again. Wow, that's so great. And it had absolutely nothing to do with Donald Trump. If you go to the Amtrak website or talk to anybody who was awake during the previous 4 years, you'd know that the improvements that Sean Duffy is talking about are, in fact, part of the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, which was led by and signed into law by President Joe Biden. I really think he should have stuck with Build Back Better instead of Bipartisan Infrastructure Act to make it a little bit easier to see that it was the Biden agenda. But at least we can keep calling it out when other people try to take credit for the work that actually got done over the past 4 years. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north. History lesson begins with little Mary J. Blige. Family Affair was part of Mary J. Blige's fifth studio album, No More Drama, which was released this day in 2001. I always pause now because sometimes you just know one is going to get people in the feels. there are people right now in their, like, say, late 30s, early 40s, are going, no, could have been 2001. Yes, it was 2001 when No More Drama was released. On this day in 2009, again, 2009, after the latest in a series of incidents between feuding brothers Liam and Noel Gallagher, Oasis splits, with Noel walking out for good, it says here. Well, maybe not for good, but 16 years.
I mean, that's pretty good.
16-year breakup. I mean, I think they just wanted to beat the Eagles record of 14 years because now they're back together, selling out concerts. Dan Schaefer flew to London to see it, for goodness sakes. So, you know, not every breakup lasts. I get it. So, I'm getting shushed by Alicia on YouTube. Pat, shh, you're reminding me that I'm 41. Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. Here's another one. You won't believe that she's 43. Leanne Rimes has a birthday today. She was everywhere at the age of, what, 16 or so? I think she was 16 when she made this a hit from the movie Con Air, if I'm remembering correctly, How Do I Live Without You? And made all kinds of music from ages basically like 16 to 32 and then said, I'm out. Checked out.
Yeah.
And we didn't hear from her for years. And God bless her for it. You know, just knowing when to say, okay, you don't want to be one of those, you know, quote unquote, child stars that just completely goes off the rails.
Sure.
Got her life back, and good for her.
Yeah, when you said at first that she was 16 when this came out, I was like, ooh, that seems horrible. I would hate to have people recognize me as a 16-year-old.
Oh, and she'd had, you know, one or two hit. Blue was her big breakout hit at about that time when she was 15 or 16. And, yeah, Alicia's getting it right. Hey, she made money and retired. Yes.
True.
And good for her. So that she's come back a little bit recently on her own terms. So that's good. So Leanne Rimes, 43 today, shares a birthday with Shania Twain, who is 60 today. Shania Twain was born Eileen Edwards in Windsor, Ontario. This day in 1965, Shania Twain, 60 years old. The late David Soule from Starsky and Hutch, the 1970s crime series, was born this day in 1943. He passed away about a year and a half ago. Had that schmaltzy top 40 hit, Don't Give Up on Us, Baby, in the wake of, you know, riding the fame from Starsky and Hutch. Wayne Osmond of the Osmond Brothers, born this day in 1951. Another well-known female singer with a birthday today, and that would be Florence, pre-Machine. She was Florence Welch, and she is 38 years old today. Actress Jennifer Coolidge is 63 years old today. Jack Black is 55 years old today. But, you know, he'll always be basically a 16-year-old boy.
I mean, yeah.
With the, or at least with the humor of it.
You know? I did not think he was that old.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 55 years old today. Huh. The one of John Denver's first pop hits peaked at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 this day in 1971. Take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama. It is funny that there are sports events. I know one team in particular plays this song all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm blanking
you
on
don't
it.
But know what
I other sports events do because it's such an easy thing to sing along to.
True. It's West Virginia that you're thinking of.
And sound ridiculous in the process. On this day in 1960, a 17-year-old Barry White, I wonder if his voice had changed by that time, or was he that way when he was like 5 years old? Hello, kindergarten teacher. How are you? Anyway, on this day in 1960, a 17-year-old Barry White completed a 4-month prison term for stealing 300 tires from a Cadillac dealership. Now, I thought that might lead him into a particular line of work, but while he was in prison for that 4-month term, he heard Elvis singing It's Now or Never, and he determined that he was going to make music his life.
Being inspired by an Elvis student.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
And let's see. On this day in 2001, Puddle of Mud released their debut album, Come Clean, selling over 3 million copies thanks to hits like She Hates Me, Control, and this. That's Blurry from Come Clean, again released this day in 2001. On the National Day calendar, it's been a quiet week this week, but there are several today. This is National Cabernet Day for you wine drinkers out there. This is National Burger Day.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Yep. Yeah. It's also Cherry Turnover Day. I do like a good cherry turnover, but I don't know. I get them at Panera when I stop there, which isn't very often anymore because of this whole morning radio show thing. I'm a little tied up, but I do love a good cherry turnover. Don't know. There's just not as many bakeries out there as there used to be.
That's true. Yeah,
you get whatever the grocery store decided to crank out that day, and it's just not the same. This is also National Power Rangers Day for some reason.
Nice.
Was Power Rangers a thing for toys or cartoons when you were growing up?
They were. I wasn't into them, but that was a really big thing while I was a kid. Yeah, I think it was like mainly 90s, very early 2000s, and kind of tapered off as I was getting into the age that I would have been into that.
Okay. I was reminded by Luke Mathers yesterday that I guess I either owe you an apology or a clarification when it comes to talking about New Coke and how you did not understand the uproar about New Coke back in 1984. And it was Mr. Mathers that reminded me that I might make too big a deal out of these things, because I made a big deal out of a different Coke flavor 3 years ago. He actually reminded me of this, and I pulled up the clip. Do you see it in Dropbox there?
Yeah.
There's a Coke clip from Luke was producing the show in August of 2022. So actually 3 years ago this week, when I saw a different flavored Coke product and decided to give it a try, it was called Coca-Cola, Dream World or something
Dream
like
World.
That? Yes. Let's play my sampling of that there. So we're going to open up the bottle here.
We're going to find out right here on air.
Here we go.
Here we go.
I am tasting it. I'm sorry, Coke.
Yep.
They called it Dream World because Coca-Cola Robitussin wasn't going to have the same kind of marketing appeal. Cough syrup, boys and girls. It's cough syrup.
So there's a chance that I might get a little overdramatic about Coke flavors and things like that.
What?
So I thought you would enjoy hearing that little clip from 3 years ago, that it might be me.
What? No, no kidding,
you don't,
Pat.
You don't have to. I don't think I've seen a reaction like that from Parker. He literally spun his head like, no kidding, Pat. No kidding.
Oh my God. Yeah. What did Coke ever do to you? Because you have had scathing reviews.
It was just such a big cultural touchstone, or at least that's how I perceived it at the time. Maybe I read too much into marketing.
I don't know that I do though,
because look at the furor over Cracker Barrel.
Sure.
Changing their logo. Look how people lost their minds at the Cracker Barrel logo update.
Yeah.
And so from today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hannah Kirby, the headline, Quick Trip has some fun on social media with Cracker Barrel's new logo fiasco. And Hannah Kirby nails the lead. The lead is Quick Trip understood the assignment. The beloved Wisconsin convenience store chain is taking notes from Cracker Barrel's logo rebrand fiasco. They posted on Twitter, never update logo ever, is what it says, with basically, you know, periods between every word there. Never update logo ever.
Note
as
yourself.
As they noted how Cracker Barrel got all kinds of flack because they got rid of the folksy man in overalls on a chair. They got rid of the wooden barrel. They got rid of the pinto bean shape behind the words. And that lasted less than 2 weeks. And the company caved amidst all the backlash. As predicted on this program, boys and girls, as predicted, right, they came back because people were talking about their culture was being erased. The nostalgia was being erased. No, it was just a crappy new logo. And they were going to be updating the stores, quote unquote, to remove some of the individuality, much like you've seen with Pizza Huts and McDonald's, which had very distinct looking restaurants, and now they all look like boxes.
It's so
upsetting.
They
just look like these gray boxes. And the reason why, somebody put together a great video of this explaining that we've all seen a Pizza Hut or a McDonald's that goes out of business, and then somebody tries to repurpose the building, but it's always going to look like a Pizza Hut. You know, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh yeah, the vape shop, that's in the old Pizza Hut building over there.
Yeah.
And so now they've got these generic buildings with these generic logos because they're always thinking about, you know, repurposing, reselling these things, recycling them. This isn't the good kind of recycling, kids. You want to do that with your aluminum and your plastic. Not your individuality for corporations.
It makes me so sad. I like good branding. Good branding is what makes the corporate world a little more bearable.
Yes. Alicia says, some people were literally claiming the updating of Cracker Barrel went against their traditional values. No, it didn't. They're a corporation.
If you have that deep of a connection to Cracker Barrel, please seek help.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Alicia. And Alicia also notes the Power Rangers were huge in the 90s, which, yes, would have been pre-Parker. And by the way, little vindication, she says, you're 100% right, Pat. The Coca-Cola thing was a huge social thing. There we go. Oh, Parker is again frustrated.
God. If it was a big social thing, fine, but you cannot expect me to understand it.
I assumed it was in all the history books. I mean, right up there with, you know, all of the
right next conflicts. To the collapse of the USSR.
Yes, right up there with it. I just don't understand what they're teaching you kids in school these days. That you just don't either.
I don't understand what they taught us either. I'll be honest with you, Pat. That you've got me.
Well, I mean, hey, look where it's gotten you so far, right? So you've got that going.
Yeah,
for
it's got
you.
Me bickering about Coke with you on the radio.
Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Kate Felton. She's penned a column in Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation Area, all about the upcoming cuts to SNAP and Medicaid and the impact it's going to have on families like hers and families throughout Derek Van Orden's 3rd Congressional District. That's after Brittany Merlot's updated forecast after the 7 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Thursday morning, August 28th. Nice to have you along. It's 6:52 here. It's a foggy morning here on Lake Wissota. Dense fog advisory here. And so, again, leave yourself a little extra time if that's the case where you are as well, and drive carefully out there. We'll get Brittany Merlot's updated forecast in just a little bit here. I'm not going to dwell very long on the school shooting in Minneapolis because, again, any regular listener knows where I'd be going with this. I would just, again, remind people that a 23-year-old man, again, a 23-year-old, armed with a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol, shot dozens of rounds yesterday towards some 200 children who were sitting in the pews during Mass at a Catholic school in Minneapolis before taking his own life. Two children died, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. 14 other kids and 3 elderly parishioners were also shot and wounded, but are expected to survive. Mayor Jacob Frey put it quite succinctly: your thoughts and prayers are not enough. These kids were literally praying at the time, and that still didn't save them from the guns, because again, it's the guns, and thoughts and prayers aren't going to cut it. President Donald Trump put out a statement offering thoughts and prayers. Vice President J.D. Vance put out a statement offering thoughts and prayers. But until those statements start to say things with some significance to them, like maybe we do need red flag laws after all, maybe we need to stop voting against increasing mental health care for our young people, maybe then and only then, once we start addressing root causes like the guns that are everywhere, can we avoid the school shootings of the future. But we haven't done those things yet. And so the saddest thing I can say here is there will be more school shootings. And it won't just be in, you know, some high crime public school area. It'll happen in a Catholic school like this one or any place else. There is no place immune to gun tragedy, to the potential of mass shootings. We had another one recently on a military base. Lots of guns. Yeah, they're locked up. But again, this whole notion of, well, if we just get more people with guns, that'll take care of it. It hasn't yet. Look at the shootings recently at the CDC headquarters where a policeman was killed, or at the NFL offices where a policeman was killed, because they're the first ones targeted. They don't know when exactly a mass shooter is going to show up. It's the guns, kids. Speaking of the CDC, the new director there, Susan Menendez, is no longer there anymore. Less than a month on the job, she is out of a job because she and Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Disagreed on things like, you know, vaccine safety, because science. Dr. Menendez is an infectious disease researcher. She was sworn in less than a month ago, but after clashing with Kennedy on vaccine policy, she was dismissed. She claims it was not done appropriately and denied being dismissed, is going to try to fight to keep her job. But four other high-profile CDC officials quit in frustration over the vaccine policy and over Robert Kennedy Jr.'s, you know, quote-unquote, leadership. This is fully expected, of course, from what Robert Kennedy has been about and who he said, you know, what he said he was going to do. It's interesting to note the four other high-ranking CDC officials who resigned. Dr. Deborah Howery is the CDC's chief medical officer. Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis ran the center that issues vaccine recommendations. Dr. Daniel Jernigan oversaw the center that oversees vaccine safety. Dr. Jennifer Layden led the Office of Public Health Data. Dr. Jernigan was deeply involved in the agency's response to anthrax and swine flu and COVID. Dr. Daskalakis helped the nation cope with an Mpox outbreak. Dr. Layden established the COVID Strategic Science Unit, according to the New York Times here, and Dr. Howery built the agency's opioid response program. Not surprisingly, former CDC leaders said those departures would harm the agency and they would harm the nation as well. Dr. Anna Schuchat, the CDC's principal deputy director until May of 2021, called them the best of the best. They are physician, scientist, public health superstars. And I think, she said, we should all be scared about the nation's health security. The resignations coincided with a decision by Trump's Food and Drug Administration to put new restrictions on updated COVID vaccines for the fall and winter season. Morale, of course, is plunging at the CDC. There have been plenty of other departures. There have been plenty of budget cuts. One of the agency's most well-known directors, Dr. William Foggi, who helped eradicate smallpox in the 1970s, recently wrote that Robert Kennedy Jr.'s words can be as lethal as the smallpox virus itself. And as a result, also stepped away from any further help with the CDC simply because it has been so politicized. Now, look, there are people who voted for Donald Trump for many different reasons. Some thought that he was going to lower prices on day one. That hasn't happened. Some believed he was going to end the war in Ukraine on day one, and that hasn't happened. But he has made happy the people that voted for him because, you know, they believe that their, you know, culture is under attack because of diversity. Well, so far they're getting what they want. And the people who want to get rid of vaccines and scientists because they don't trust them, but they trust a failed businessman, reality TV host, those folks are happy. They're even happier now. But for the rest of us, God only knows. We'll have much more in the 7 o'clock hour of these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.